Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity.
Good morning, everyone. Let me make sure, is this light blinding anyone? All right, good. I know that if I turn it down, somebody's going to get mad. We appreciate everybody being here today. I hope that hope you've had a good week. The passage that was read in Ecclesiastes is, it's a good passage that really does talk a lot about death and dying. And it is a fact of this life that each one is going to pass from this life. Each person that's on this planet today will one day no longer be here. That is the reality that we all live with day by day. Grief is as much a part of our life as love, as happiness and joy. Grief is also part of the same characteristic or nature that we call life. My mom passed away 14 months ago, and we obviously still have not come to terms with that completely. Dad passed away 1 week ago today. My brother Daniel's twin daughter, Kimberlyn Joy, passed away years ago, 16 years ago. Her twin sister is soon going to be driving. There's a scary thought. Years ago, Faye's mom, Vera Mays, passed away when Faye was only 18. We'd been married for just a little while. Then she lost her dad, Leonard Mays, her sister, Trilly, and recently her brother, Billy, on her birthday a year ago. The girls lost their beloved Uncle Richard, who was more of a grandfather to them than an uncle. They lost him several years ago. Each death has affected us. Each death in our family has affected us in a very real way. And people grieve differently and are affected differently by each death that they have to endure. And a mistake that some folks make is trying to tell people how to grieve, telling them what they need to do. Some people, want to be around other people. They want to be distracted. They want to have people all around them. A lot of touching, a lot of stories, a lot of humor. And this is how they grieve. And others want to be left alone. They don't want people around them. They want to be isolated. They want to retreat. But somebody says, oh no, you don't need to be alone. You need people around you. Don't tell me how to grieve. Some people will grieve by enjoying fellowship with other people, and they will eat a meal. They will share food. Food is a big part of the grieving process in the South. And so we need to bring food. So we'll bring you some potato salad and some barbecue and some chips and we'll bring you something that you can, you know, make things easier so you don't have to prepare a meal. We'll bring you food. And you need to eat. I don't feel like eating. I don't want to eat. Oh no, you need to eat. Don't tell me how to grieve. Each person grieves in their own way. And grief, many, many stages. There's anger, there's denial, there is the feeling of surreal, where it doesn't feel real. There is depression and sadness and just a longing for even a denial of reality. There are many, many stages of grief, and each person goes through those in different ways. Grief is a part of our existence on this earth. My family and I arrived at Tanner in the fall of 1996. During these nearly 18 years, we've had to say, as a congregation, we've had to say goodbye to a lot of people. I remember an old brother that used to sit right about where Lucille is sitting this morning. Shine White, Brother L.P. White. He's the first one I can remember passing shortly after I got here. But I remember him sitting there. In 97, Jared Jones passed from this life. In 98, Jamie Howard. Petty McMeans, and then recently Sister Reba went home. J.T. Massey. He loved to do the puzzles, remember? Lonnie and Pauline Hudson, brother and sister that lived out in a little country house that out on the west side. Leroy Ball, down there close to Double L. Joe Cannon, and just last month, LaRue Cannon. Gerald Faulkner. Gerald used to love to ask questions in class. Leroy Robinson. And then years later, Sister Mildred passed. One thing I remember about Brother Robinson, he didn't say much. I remember sitting in elders' meetings with him, and he didn't say much in those meetings. He might, you know, we might have a meeting, and he might say five words in the whole meeting. But when he did say something, I noticed the other elders snapped too. They listened, and they listened carefully to what he had to say. Kenneth and Imogene Lang, who moved up here from Florida and took care of their mom and dad till they passed, and then Sister Imogene Ken passed, and then Imogene, and it's just sad that whole family's gone. Shortly after I started with the India work, Wade Perry passed, and I remember Wade and I used to load up early in the morning. Betty would send us out with his camper shell pickup truck, and we'd have to go to Krispy Kreme donuts and be there by 4:30. And get about 10,000 boxes in the back of that truck and bring them to the school. And they always gave us a box of donuts. And so Wade and I would eat an entire box of donuts on the way back from Huntsville. They were so good. Jack Malone. I remember Jack telling me just about a year after I started with the India work, he said, "You know, Robert, we've kind of got used to you being around here, but you can get used to a toothache." That was Jack. And then Ruby Malone passed. Their mom. Johnny and Jimmy. Jack. Their mom. Roy Carter passed. And then Marguerite McMullins. And then Don Carter passed. And then that tragic accident that took Lance Looney's life. And then not too many years later, his dad, Houston Looney, passed. Affecting our community pretty severely was another accident that claimed Thomas Sunshine Adams' life, took him from us. And then Rip Swanner, another one that just hurt our community so bad. There was Grace Smith passed, Lilla Ruth Thrasher, Myrtle Carter, Henry's mom, Inez Nelms, Robert's mom, Lillian Haygood. Oh, I remember getting in trouble with Sister Lillian one time. We had fireworks back here on January 1st. Had a big to-do back here. Big singing and fellowship and games. And then I went out and shot off a bunch of fireworks at midnight. And Lillian just let me know about that. No, you interrupted my sleep. So we stopped that. Mabel Drain. Linda's mom, Winfred Barron, Martha Hargrave, Glenna Goode, Jenny Luna, Estelle Haraway, Jane Green, Buddy Stewart, and then Verna Perry. And then Buddy Lawson passed. And then Mark Shores. Recently, Mary Black and Fred Hayes and Calvin Wilson. Charlie and Troy May Carter. And there are so many others that I have not remembered to name, and please forgive my poor memory. But each one of these people, each one that's been named, and each one that I failed to name, each one meant something to so many people. They were important to so many people, and they have passed from this life, and they've gone on to meet God. And death is going to come for all of us. We know that more are going to follow. And even if we live 100 years, we're not meant to be here a long time, and that's not a long time, because we're going to live more than 1,000 years and more than 1,000 times 1,000 years, and we will just keep on living. That's why we must get ready and stay ready to go home. And one of the things that helps us is the memory of those who have gone on before. One of the things that gives us encouragement, that gives us strength. And I was just talking to Marie Saturday, and she told me, she said, I don't want people to avoid talking about Jack. I want to remember him, and I want people to remind me and tell me stories about him. And I know you feel that way too, unless death is too fresh. If death is too fresh, then it is painful to hear the stories. But after a time, after some time, and it's different for each person, the passing of a loved one, the stories that people can tell and will remind you of things about that loved one, it means the world to you. Because we have our precious memories. Precious memories, unseen angels, sent from somewhere to my soul. How they linger ever near me, and the sacred past unfold. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. And the text that was read this morning in Ecclesiastes 11, 7 through 10, the Bible says, truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. And all that is coming is vanity. Now the word vanity here has a different meaning than we think of a fellow looking in a mirror. But the word vanity here has to do with futile, temporary, passing, in not permanent at all. It is vanity. That's how Solomon is using that word. So we read on. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. They don't last long either. Turn over to chapter 12. Just keep reading. Verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when they say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened. Now these next few phrases are describing old age and all the physical symptoms that come from old age. So listen and see, listen with your imagination and see if you can figure out what specific physical weaknesses are being referred to in these coming phrases. The clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. It is our destiny to grow old and to die. That is our fate. Though some will not make it to old age, most will. Most people do make it to the older years. But he says in verse 6, for those that are still younger, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was. When this happens, life is over. The dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. Now, when you first read a passage like this, you think, how depressing. How unbelievably sad. What a downer. What a bummer. You may come up with all kinds of phrases to describe. But when you consider this, God is giving us fair warning that when we are young, we feel like we're 10 feet tall and bulletproof, to quote the country music song. But we're not. We are not. Anything as small as a microbe or as large as a great oak tree can end our life. Anything. No matter what happens, no matter how safe we may feel, we could die today. We need to face that. We need to live with that. We don't need to be depressed and sad and go through life as though, you know, there's no hope, there's no joy, there's nothing. For God says to the young man, remember your Creator in the days of your youth and rejoice. Enjoy this, your youth. Enjoy life. And if you're 90 years old, enjoy your life. But remember God in the midst of your life. Don't forget it, because all of this is going to be gone. Our Lord understands this better than anyone. Better than anyone. In John 11, the brother of Mary and Martha, Lazarus, is sick. And they lived in Bethany. Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus, the one you love is sick. And they're asking him to come. Jesus at the time was in the wilderness beyond the Jordan River. This is the place where John began his ministry. So they're some distance away from Bethany. And when word reached Jesus that Lazarus was sick, he remained there for 2 more days. But he had a reason. He says to the disciples, this sickness is not unto death, but it is so that the Son of God can be glorified, which means that he can be put to death himself. And that is the ultimate result of this story, because the Jews decided at that point, he's got to go. And plans were put in action to end the life of Jesus because of the event that we're referring to. Anyway, when Jesus had told them this. He said, Lazarus is sleeping. And they said, well, then, that's fine. We don't even need to go to Bethany. And Jesus said, Lazarus is dead. Now, at that time they journeyed to Bethany, and when they got there, John 11, verse 17, when they came, Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days by the time they got there. They delayed 2 before they went, and by the time they got there, Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. And now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. I love her faith. If you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. That is faith. And that is also her heart's desire. She is crying out to him, Lord, if only you had been here, we'd still have my brother. And you can give him back. You know, how many of us have lost someone that we love and wished, maybe in a dreamlike state, maybe in bed that night, that somehow some miracle could happen and they're back with us. That somehow that they could be back with us. That has happened to anyone who's lost anyone close to you. And that's exactly what's happening with Martha right here. She is saying, Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died. And even now, you can give him back to us if you're willing. You can do it because God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And she says, yeah, I know he's going to rise in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus says to her, these wonderful words, I am the resurrection and the life. I am God. I am. That's what was said to Moses. Who shall I say sent me? You tell them I am sent you. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she answered the only way she knew to answer. She answered the only way she possibly could. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she said these things, she went away and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And the Jews that were with her in the house and comforting her, and I love that she had friends and family around her to comfort her. People, we need that. But when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, they followed her saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. In effect, they're saying, we need to go with her. She don't need to be by herself. Let's go with her. When Mary came to where Jesus was, she saw him and fell down at his feet. And she said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I love their faith. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. They were weeping. Mary and Martha are weeping. The Jews that are with them are weeping. And Jesus wept as well. I've often been troubled by this. Why did Jesus weep? He knew what he was going to do. He was weeping for several possible reasons. The Bible does not say. One of those, possibly, is that out of his sense of compassion for these people. He saw suffering and death. He knew what it was. He knew the terrible price that was going to have to be paid to give resurrection to mankind. I don't know what the motivation was, but I know our Lord felt compassion, great compassion for people in sadness. And these were his friends. And so Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? He opened the eyes of the blind. John chapter 9. Blind man born from blind from birth. And Jesus opened his eyes. This had never been done before. That's just two chapters earlier. He's just done this. Could he not have kept this man from dying? And Jesus again, groaning in himself. This is part of that same grief, that same weeping. Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him who died, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." I wish that maybe he had said another name. And so do you. Loved ones that have passed on. But my friends, he will say that name one day. He will say it. He will call the name of your loved one. He will say it. "Come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, "Loose him and let him go." Resurrection day is coming, brothers and sisters. We have something to look forward to. We've got the promise of a home in heaven. We've got the promise of a God who will never leave us nor forsake us. We've got the promise that one day we will be raised from the dead too. Jesus said in John 5, 28, 29, "The hour is coming in which all that are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth, those that have done good to the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." There's going to be a resurrection day. There's going to be something that we can look forward to. And if our loved ones died in the Lord, we will see them again if we will remain faithful. I am reminded of the story of King David when he sinned with Bathsheba, killed her husband and others that were with him in that battle. Not only did Uriah the Hittite die, but other soldiers that were around him also died when they pulled back and left them at the front. And David is safe back in his palace instead of being out leading and being out there where the battle is raging. But he sends Uriah out to cover his sin. And God knows this. You can't hide it from God. And so Nathan the prophet comes to him and tells him this heartbreaking story of the man with the little baby lamb and the rich man with many, many, many sheep, many lambs, has a guest coming. So he steals the lamb from this poor man, this one that's a pet, that's almost like a daughter to him. Steals this lamb, kills it, slaughters it, cooks it, serves it to his friend. And David is outraged. A man that does this should be worthy of death. And Nathan points that shaky old finger at him and says, "Thou art the man." And David is heartbroken. And then Nathan goes on to tell him, "The child that is born will die." And David is devastated. And he begins to pray and he tears his royal robes. He puts on sackcloth and ashes and he will not eat. He will not sleep. He will not wash himself. He is just there weeping and praying. And the people are begging him, "David, your child lives. Eat." "No." "David, you need to clean up. The people need you." "No." All he does is pray, begging God to spare this child. But the child died as God said it would. And David got up and he bathed. He put on his royal robes again. He ordered a meal to be brought to him and he ate. And his advisors are mystified. They can't figure this out. David, when the child was alive, you're in mourning and now the child is dead and you're doing this? What is going on? And David says, the child cannot come back to me, but I will go to the child. I will go to the child. You will go to your loved ones who have gone home to be with God. You will see again those that have left you and left you behind. We must be faithful. We must keep going. We must not give up. We must not lose the opportunity to be with our loved ones again. But more importantly than that, we must not lose the opportunity to be saved ourselves, to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus who died for us to give us this chance. We must not lose that opportunity. Death is coming. Grief is just as much a part of life as joy. But salvation is the only thing that we need to hold on to no matter what. Be saved today. Come to God today, so that you can make things right with Him, so that you have the hope that on that resurrection morning you will be raised to the resurrection of life. If you're not a Christian, obey the gospel. If you're already a child of God, rededicate your